Hello and welcome to episode 131 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. This week we will most probably talk about that Terminator trailer. What do you think, Paul?
It's very possible.
And a couple other things. Hi, I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
We've got no Retroid this week, unfortunately, because he's all icky and ill. And
bless him.
And he's really frustrated by this because he wanted to rant about things. So I have a feeling I know what he wants to rant about. So I'll try not to rant about it on his behalf, but there could be a rant incoming next week. Just warning you ahead of time.
Duck for cover.
Yeah. But yeah, that Terminator Genesis trailer.
Yeah.
Says the person that hasn't seen it.
Yeah, I want people to describe it to me now because I've seen all the other trailers up to this point, and I've
there's lots of action.
Yeah.
There's lots of Schwarzenegger going, "Hello, I'm back," and then there's John Connor turning out to be the baddie.
Where?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it can't be that much of a spoiler since it's, you know, trailer and all.
You say that, but I mean, so many films have just had every critical point of them distilled into their trailers over the last few years.
Well, this one seems interesting, and I'm not entirely sure whether it's... as far as I could tell, it's a case of John Connor has somehow been
fused to a Terminator.
Yeah, so he's not quite a Terminator, not quite human, but he has it seems like the mission to kind of kill Sarah Connor or whatever. And
yeah, because doesn't he turn around to his mum and go, "Well, you taught me to survive," or something?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay, that's throwing it straight in your mother's face, you psychopathic moron.
But yeah, it seems like he is the T-1000 that goes back in time and morphs and shapes and shit.
Do you reckon there's actually a John Connor working at Amazon?
Maybe.
Oh dear.
Is that
the end is nigh.
Okay, I think you got me confused there.
Amazon is Skynet.
Oh, right.
Amazon will become Skynet.
Yeah, I don't want to
because of John Connor.
I don't want to talk about their cloud key computing capabilities, but they got a lot of cloud computing capabilities that would allow for very good cloud hybridization with how do I put this? No, I'm not going to explain it anymore. I know too much about this shit. Basically, they got the computing power necessary to do something nasty if they wanted to.
Hmm.
But hopefully they won't.
Going back to the trailer, I suppose it is an interesting twist to turn the whole mythology on its head.
Well, I mean, because obviously people have been confused with this kind of older Schwarzenegger being like the Terminator and whatnot, and being like, well, you know, why is he older and, you know, why is shit happening? And like, it seems like, from what I could tell, that before the first film, like decades before, another Terminator, one of the regular Arnie ones, was sent back in time, presumably to prepare for, you know, what was coming.
And the first mission.
The first mission. And I think that's where the weird CG version of Arnold Schwarzenegger comes in, as that original Terminator.
Yeah, it's really bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it's it does make me wonder how they're going to actually deal with the timeline, though.
Well, they've already said it's kind of a reboot, so dealing with the time, they could be like, we're going to run roughshod all over that timeline.
Yeah, it seems that way. I suppose the biggest question, though, is if John Connor's been turned, who actually turned him?
Well,
I'm hoping that's going to be left to the release of the movie before everybody spoils it.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest question now.
I'd imagine it'll be kind of a survival thing, as, you know, John Connor actually said in the trailer. And presumably, you know, they're going to have some sort of test to realise that he is actually John Connor, or at least has his memories and whatnot. So, yeah. It's going to be...
interesting.
It's kind of thrown out some more questions, And I'm kind of hoping
that... turned everything on its head, which I must admit I am a bit... No. In a way, it could actually be quite interesting to see
I think they do need to do something that's actually a little bit more... not necessarily convoluted, but a little bit more... a little bit different to what has come before. And this is certainly different. Having John Connor as, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So. It's going to be interesting in a way. But it could be just absolutely rubbish like Salvation.
I kind of have more hope for this than Salvation.
Yeah, it does look more Terminator.
It seems like it is straddling the first film, the second film, and the third film a little bit as well. Because there was scenes of, you know, kind of the bit where, you know, Skynet launches all the nukes against, you know.
Yeah.
And whatnot. So that's true. They're definitely doing something weird with it. And I'm kind of hoping that this John Connor thing will pay off, maybe.
But then it could all be a trick anyway. It might actually just be a Terminator pretend to be John Connor.
Yeah.
It might be a facade. Facade. Yeah, that's the one, facade. Thank you.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Although the one thing that because I quite liked in the second film, some of the extra scenes where you kind of see John Connor as, you know, kind of the adult and, you know,
yeah,
doing all that. And he does look quite thin, and that's the kind of thing that you'd kind of expect from him. But this guy the guy that currently is going to be playing him in Genesis seems a little bit chubbier.
Yes. A bit older, wiser.
I think I want to
move us through more trailer talk, but to a different trailer at this point.
Oh, yeah,
go on.
So the first trailer for Deus Ex, Mankind Divided.
Yes.
Landed last week.
Now that's going to rock.
It was...
amazeballs.
It was pretty amazeballs. It was concerning in some ways because it was very wham, bam, flashy. There were very few moments of stealth, and I was just kind of like, "Please, you will continue to have stealth, right? Because that's the only way I play Deus Ex, whether it's the original
Human Revolution. It was cool to have the choice in the original, in the reboot. That's what I liked about it. If you couldn't get through with all guns blazing, you could go to stealth and vice versa. It was interesting. And I hope it's not going to do a Dead Space and go all action on us. Because that would be a shame.
That was quite an action-y trailer. But I think one of the things that I'm slightly worried about with it is the fact that it's going to be going a little bit too much kind of the dark second or dark sequel type thing. That seems to be happening a lot.
But you say that.
It sets up the story quite nicely. Pretty depraved and nasty
in places.
But I mean, there's kind of depraves and that kind of thing. And then there's kind of the whole moral darkness, like, he's following on a path and it's not quite the same path, and he's not quite as good of a guy, and, you know. That he was obviously, you know, that great of a guy to begin with.
Well, you could play the game as a bit of an asshole, to be fair.
Yeah.
At least the previous
one. But, I mean, same with Mass Effect, but Mass Effect 2 did seem like it was still, like, the dark... Well, not necessarily the dark one, because Mass Effect 3 was pretty dark by itself as well.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
I suppose it's a dark subject matter as well, though, isn't it? It is quite a dark subject matter, to be fair.
I don't understand your concerns, because the original game and obviously the subsequent prequel and Invincible Wars and the subsequent prequel that we had a few years ago, they're not nice things. I mean, they're about... There's abuse of people who have, you know, sort of cybernetics.
Yeah.
There's conversations that, you know, you got a whole kind of 1% thing already going on before the whole idea of 1% became like a big sort of cultural theme in recent years.
Yeah.
And it's never been a nice world.
Nice subject. I mean, it is a very dark world.
The Human Revolution was perhaps slightly lighter than the original game. But that's only because the original game was set further into the future where things had gone to shit more.
Yeah.
So with Mankind Divided, we're just sort of seeing how things further descend into crappiness.
Well, that's true. This is very true.
Like, the original game, like, things were already pretty bad by that point. And the whole point is it's still a prequel, so you're sort of seeing the path of how things were able to get that bad. Though it does make me wonder, at which point is there a chance that the original game could actually end up being remade?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because of the way they're still continuing with their sort of, like, featuring prequels.
Hmm. That's true. Hmm.
I wasn't particularly... I was only worried from the trailer from, like, a stealth perspective, just because...
Yeah, no, I can see your point on that. Some of the new power-ups look cool as well. Love the end bit with the bullets going across and how he makes his body all diamond. That's cool.
But... What? What's that? Wait, I'm just scrolling through some headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Bleeding Cool comic book... It's like, can you get on that Guitar Hero story? They're reporting, Bleeding Cool are, that there's a chance that a new Guitar Hero game
yes, could be announced. Yes, the one that you said to me was an April Fool joke. You evil so-and-sos. They've been invited to a thing on the 14th of April, is it?
Yes, that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
But then... I was writing on Hex like a few weeks ago. It seems inappropriate to kind of push the Guitar Hero brand now because I feel like people's appreciation of drum and guitar led music has gotten past the point of digging the sort of cliches that the Guitar Hero franchise used for all its branding and imagery.
Yeah.
So like, their sort of heavy metal stylings and mullet rock stylings and stuff that they kind of tended to push. I feel like people have kind of moved beyond that now as being kind of like something they'd want to associate with. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people still want sort of like really cliche still... rock. I like rock. I really like rock.
I think I'd still like it. I'm still more psyched for Rock Band 4.
Yeah, I'm still more psyched for Rock Band 4 purely because I'm kind of fed up with the weird Guitar Hero aesthetic. I kind of don't want a return to it.
But maybe they'll go back to basics with it. Maybe. Go back to the drawing board. Might be a possibility. It'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. See if it is that they reveal.
What?
And we've also, on comicbook.com there, they've announced that a Psylocke is going to appear in X-Men Apocalypse. Yay!
Do they know what kind of, like, I can never understand Psylocke's power set because...
She went through quite a few changes, didn't she?
Yeah, because I've played sort of some of the X-Men games that have been released over the past 10 years and she's appeared in them. But it has been generally a bit confusing as to what it is that she does.
She's psychic and she can form a psychic katana to help her fight. She's also got telekinesis as well. And she's a kick-ass ninja warrior.
So she's going to be next in Armageddon?
Apocalypse.
Apocalypse, sorry.
Yeah. Yes, and she's going to be played by Olivia Munn.
Okay.
Who appeared in Iron Man 2, Chuck, and Attack of the Show.
The only thing that concerns me about this recent announcement is obviously they kind of recently announced stuff going on with Angel.
Yes.
In the film. So yeah, it feels like they're starting to pile in characters again, and I get that the X-Men... universe has got many, many characters in it, but
yeah,
it can get problematic in films when you try to convey that because you just end up with a situation we ended up with in X3, which got
Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, got pretty messy because there were just too many
characters to develop in such a short time.
I don't know. I think with X-Men Apocalypse, because there were meant to be like the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, including Archangel. So presumably, if they wanted to carry on with that storyline, then they kind of need him in there.
Yeah, Angel needs to be in there. But saying that, in the comic book, Psylocke and Angel get together.
A love divided.
Yeah. So that might be another interesting little twist to it.
Hmm. I know there's been like a couple of analysis of kind of different like superhero couples recently, but I can't remember where it was that I read that on the internet.
I think I want to talk about some reboot news that has shocked me over this past week. I'll start off simple, Loki. It's currently rumoured that She's All That is in with a shot of being remade.
Really?
Because, you know, when you run out of ideas of things to remake, you head to the dirt pile of films made by Freddie Prinze Jr. in the sort of like late 90s, early 2000s. This also means that anything he starred in, you know, I think is now at risk. Which could mean that we end up with more live-action Scooby-Doo movies.
No, they've already done another one on that.
How many live-action Scooby-Doo movies are there now?
Three.
There's three. God, I haven't watched any of them since the second one. That's concerning.
Third one's actually when they first meet. And it's really sad that I know that, so maybe we'll skip on off that one now. Whole new cast, no Freddie Prinze Jr. either.
What about you, Paul? Didn't you own this film at some point? If not, we still do. We definitely had it on at least VHS.
Yeah, I think we had it on VHS, and that's about it. I can't remember why it's in my collection or what, but yeah. I really can't remember why it was there, to be honest. I can't even remember the film that much, other than the fact that it involved some college jock and some girl that was meant to be ugly when she stuck on glasses and then took them off and was all pretty.
That's disconcerting for a storyline. That's, yeah. Maybe they can remake it and actually it'll make sense and be kind of good. That's the optimist in me, but the pessimist in me...
Yeah, just get rid of that optimism straight away on that one.
And then
sling it in the bin.
And then there's the slightly more shocking remake news.
Don't mention it.
I'm going to mention it.
Don't mention it. Don't bloody bother.
That to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Rocky Horror Picture Show, there will be a made-for-TV remake aired in the States. With choreography done by one of the main guys responsible for Glee.
Okay, so can we keep it in the States, lock it in a vault in the States, never ever bring it over here, and never ever darken my doors with it? There you go. That is my request for that.
Sorry, what? Who from Glee?
One of the main choreographers.
Choreographers?
Yeah.
No. Don't do it. Don't touch Rocky Horror. Leave it as is. If you want to celebrate it, then go to your local cinema. There's still showings available, and I'm sure it'll be on in cinemas for the 40th anniversary. Just go and reenact it with the rest of the audience, complete with props.
Actually, funny you should mention that, because I mean, it's quite interesting how some films do actually get kind of, you know, when they're kind of cult classics like that, they do get kind of a showing, and they do get quite popular.
It's one of the longest running films.
Yeah, it's like, I don't quite get why those get remakes. I mean, I get why, you know, things that flopped originally get remakes, because they flopped originally, and sometimes there's actually a couple of hidden gems in them. But
some good ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other stuff, it's like, if you can't actually contribute to what it's saying or whatever, then what's the point?
Just leave it. Just leave it as is. There's no need to touch.
In non-remake news, but in preserving history news, and I'm not going to... I don't want to talk about this too long, because I'm pretty sure Retroid wants to scramble in and rant about this next week, but there has been news that video game publishers have been pushing to stop museums and other enthusiast groups from preserving abandoned games, because to, in order to preserve these games, sometimes a degree of hacking is needed in order to make sure that they'll run, especially stuff that's got any online component. So because all hacking is illegal, but they're not thinking like the publishers who are trying to make claims using copyright law are kind of like ignoring the fact that they're also cultural products. Like, nobody does this over museums preserving books or films.
Yeah.
So why should, you know, I don't, it feels, it, video games, when it all comes to the intellectual property rights involved with them, and then like trying to preserve it so that it can be used again over the course of, you know, years and decades to come. It, like all software, it does feel like rather than having somebody who's kind of got the nuanced ideas of what having a cultural item in your possession means, and the fact that people will want to be able to refer back to it and handle it and look at it, like it feels like there's nobody with those kind of cultural nuances in charge of intellectual property. Instead, it's just all lawyers when it comes to anything with a bit of software in it, which is kind of bad, because then it means that a huge chunk of our digital lives and existences are in the hands of legal twits who don't understand the cultural and social value of the material they're in charge of. All they see is the law and profiteering, when there probably isn't really going to be any profiteering.
To be fair, that's what they're kind of paid to do. But that's beside the point. I think part of the problem is that, because obviously these are kind of games that won't, presumably won't get kind of you know, launched on any virtual console or any arcade systems or anything like that. So it's like the company themselves aren't going to be making any money. They're not being denied money because somebody would have bought it in the shops anyway. And it's like
they're being preserved for historical reference.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, I mean, you say, oh, because it's going to be released on virtual console, but if you somehow got a working older console with an older game in a museum, obviously the experience of playing that older game on the original console it was released on is going to be very different to playing that same game ported to something like Virtual Console definitely. Wii. So just because it can be, you know, people should be able to still, if it's for those kind of purposes, those cultural purposes, not for, oh, let's make loads of money pirating the thing and selling it to people through some crazy Android app.
Yeah.
That's not what they're doing. They're trying to preserve a piece of history.
I do find it funny when people stick on emulators onto like Android and stuff, and it's like,
but I don't,
this
but I'm gonna move away.
You lose the experience though on that, don't you?
I'm gonna move away from that topic because, like I said, I think Retroid really wants to talk about that.
Okay. So. Can I mention that Marvel have confirmed their new version of Spider-Man in the film universe?
Oh yeah, as a teenager, but it's not going to be
gutted.
Why are you gutted?
Because it's going to be another teenage version of Peter Parker, isn't it?
Yes, but it's not going to be an origin story, apparently.
But he becomes Spider-Man at high school.
Yeah, but I mean, presumably it's going to be set in the period between him getting powers and him graduating high school.
It's all going to be a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
It's going to be confusing. I'm gutted a bit because it's going to be, his first appearance will be in Civil War, which Spider-Man had quite a big role in the comic book for Civil War.
Yeah.
And for me, you'd have needed to be able to do that role properly, a more mature Peter Parker who's got to make those choices. So I'm assuming he's not really going to have much to do in Civil War.
Mm. Well, I mean, to be honest, because Civil War is going to be like the Captain America 3 movie, I didn't really hold up much hope in terms of it actually, you know, being this like massive event. In my eyes, it should have been an Avengers film rather than rather than Captain America film. But you know, what can you do?
Beggars can't be choosers. Still be a go though, because it'd be nice to have seen a more mature Peter Parker take to the big screen for a change. Seeing him settle down in Mary Jane Parker and that. Because that's something they never seem to want to do too much.
Yeah, they...
Which is weird.
Yeah, with a film... Well, with the films, you know, you've had like a maximum of three, so there isn't really much of, you know, settling down you can really do. But, yeah. It's like they've never got married or anything. So.
No. And he's always been at high school, or just about to leave high school as well, which is annoying.
It's so quite annoying that this will be like the third time in the space of like, what, 20 years?
You know, yeah.
That it's, you know, we're going to have a new Spider-Man.
Or they could have just done Miles Morales. That would have been cool.
Yeah. I mean, presumably, have you had anything confirm it being Peter Parker or?
Yeah, Kevin Feige has announced.
Ah, okay.
That it is going to be Peter Parker. They're trying to cast someone around the age of 15 to 16 years old.
They're actually trying to. Cast somebody that age.
Yep.
Okay.
In terms of the age of an actor who'll eventually to cast, I don't know. In terms of the age of what we believe Peter Parker is, I'd say 15 to 16 is right.
But you know what's weird is that that kid would have been 8 when Iron Man would have been, you know, in the cinemas. 8-year-old yeah. kid all of a sudden gets to the age of 15. Suddenly he's actually in that cinematic universe.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa. There again, that's
crazy.
Because, I mean, you say there you want a 15-year-old kid. Does that mean that, because obviously Civil War's, is it going to be next year or is it going to be the year after?
2016, isn't it?
Yeah. 2016, so it will be next year. So,
yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, I think it's, I don't know. I would have preferred a more older version on the screen, personally. Or a different iteration. Even if you had Ben Reilly and did the Clone Saga, that'd have been pretty cool.
And I'm kind of looking forward to the Deadpool movie. I know people
oh,
probably
yes.
be like...
Deadpool's going to be ace. I like the look of that.
I think we're lucky to have Reynolds in one piece at the moment after he got hit by a car... You know, run in Vancouver in the past day or so.
What?
The paparazzi appeared to have been involved. Yeah, he's okay. Nothing like major, but yeah.
Yeah.
I did not hear about this.
Yeah, it was sort of leaked onto the news this afternoon. So.
But yeah, no, Deadpool's looking good, and they've released set photos today to show that it does look like Colossus is going to make an appearance as well.
Hmm.
Which will be interesting.
Because, I mean, wait, I'm confused now, because is it going to be an actual Marvel film for Deadpool? Or?
I think
no,
Fox have got the rights.
Oh. It's Fox.
Oh, Fox. Fox got the rights. Ah, right, okay.
Yeah.
That yeah. explains it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Fox are going to try and stretch it out a bit.
Hmm. Which is pretty, because, you know, from what I can see of like pictures on the internet, it's like Deadpool and Spidey, they go quite well together.
Yes.
Can I move us on to one other last bit of news?
Okay.
Someone's, it's a Kotaku, we're talking about this today. They're now called the Interesting Gaming Habits of Teenage Girls. In which they looked at recently released research, which looked at, well, a cross-section of teenagers in the US, about 1,400 respondents. Obviously, a significant proportion of them were teenage girls. And, you know, asking them, I think it's something like maybe 20 to 30 odd questions about their gaming habits. And it included things like, you know, what genres people played.
Mm.
And it... Considering this in the light of comments by one of the main people from The Astronauts, who published and developed The Vanishing of Ethan Carter last year, and with one of them kind of going off on one about how, well, there's no market basically for games that allow for choice of female avatars or you know, that women don't really game, the market data says they don't game. Well, the simple fact of the matter is that the market data that this research of teenagers in the US showed was that a huge proportion of girls do play games that aren't just puzzle adventure games, that aren't just, you know, sort of like mobile games. In fact, 36% of respondents reported playing RPGs. Female respondents, 36% said they RPGs. And like when Vanishing of Ethan Carter Dude was kind of like going on about sort of like demographics and that with games and why it doesn't, stuff doesn't get marketed or made to them, like, you know, girls or people of colour or anything, it was like, oh, the market share's just not there. And it's like, well, 36% of teenage girls in the US like playing RPGs, and another 26% like playing FPSs, and 16% like playing RTSs, and 17% like playing platforms. I'm not sure, but those sound like significantly statistically significant amounts of people there. Maybe we should be considering marketing, you know, games to girls, you know, maybe, and making them with them in mind. I mean, what was it, that recent story with some girl who went and done some research and complained about how if you wanted to play female characters in some free-to-play games, you had to, like, pay extra to get hold of a female avatar.
What?
The default was male. You obviously didn't have to pay for it. But, oh, if you wanted a female avatar, you had to pay for it. And, you know, woe betide you if you wanted to have, like, a female or a non-white character. You have to pay, like, over the odds to be able to access avatars.
That's just bonkers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, for a start, how are they making that, this data about, you know, who plays video games and whatnot? And how are they actually making sure that it's actually accurate? Because, I mean, say, for example...
And I'm biased.
Yeah. Girlfriend comes over to her boyfriend's place, starts playing on something. Chances are she's going to use his profile to do it because he's got Xbox Live Gold or, you know, PlayStation Plus or whatever. And the stats will say that it's him that's playing it rather than her.
Apparently only 19% of teenage girls in the US don't play video games.
19%, so that's just less than 1 in 5 do not play video games.
Yeah. And then that's if they're obviously not saying, because there's still the slight social stigma for their gender to be associated with gaming platforms anyway, in the first place. But it's just, with all the crap that's been going on with, like, Gamergate and everything over the past year, and people complaining about, well, I say people, certain groups, usually quite masculine and white, complaining about other groups being represented in games more. And it's just like, well, that these groups are engaging with this content, surely they just as much deserve to have representations of themselves that they're comfortable with in said content.
The thing is, though, is that, I mean, some of them are complaining that other groups are getting more representation in games, but it's like you rarely see, you know, you having to play as a woman or having to play as a black character or whatever. Sometimes it's just the options, and it's like, if you can play as a white male character and you want to, go for it. If you don't, then that's just as good.
There's very few games where you're not playing as some white guy.
Well, nowadays with kind of AAA titles and, you know, yes, I mean, there are obviously, you know, sort of like exceptions, like stuff like Lara Croft and, you know, Mirror's Edge and shit like
Beyond
that.
Beyond
Two Souls. But, you know, they, for the main part, most action games and a lot of first-person shooters are pretty much like, yeah, you're this generic looking white dude.
Go
be a hero.
Yeah.
Bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, that was some interesting news this week. So I think I want us to move on now to what we've been up to. Haven't been gaming so much this week after the bank holiday. I briefly, and if you know the answer to this, please contact us at Nerds Podcast. I briefly wanted to delete some of the games I'd installed on my Vita memory card. Could I know I'd managed to do it before, but could I for the life of me there and then figure out through the settings how to take
I could probably figure
game?
It out.
Yeah, well, I asked you yesterday.
Yeah, you closed up and locked it up and basically stuck it back on the shelf before I got a chance to do anything.
It wasn't obvious, though.
You're not allowed
it's
to
like,
touch the Vita.
It's like it's not obvious how to do it. Like anywhere where you'd think it would be, it's not. Instead, you get warnings of, "Oh, do you want to format the memory card?" No, I don't want to format the entire memory card. I just want to get rid of this one or two things.
So there's no app manager or anything.
I couldn't find anything. It was very inobvious.
Inobvious.
How bizarre.
I can make up words. Shakespeare did it all the time.
You can try and make up words.
Shakespeare did it all the time, and everyone accepted that.
That's because most people couldn't read or write back then.
Who says most people can read or write now?
That's true.
Touché.
So, yes, I didn't. I just went on like TXK, like really flipping briefly, but my aim was to try and get like Counter Spy or something on there.
Oh, yeah.
But, which you've been enjoying on the PS4.
Yeah, but it's just like I knew you wanted to watch stuff on YouTube, and I was like, oh, you know, I could go on my Vita. And...
Well, we have a multitude of different ways of doing stuff. If I wanted to go, you know, watch stuff on YouTube, I could have just used my phone, I could have used my laptop, I could have used the other TV that's in the living room. You know, there are options. I don't know why, you know, that's why I've got all this extra stuff, so that you can continue doing what you want to do, and I can continue doing what I want to do.
But I thought you'd get the advantage of the big TV for once.
Well, thank you.
Apparently, all you have to do is hold the icon of the game you want to delete, go into edit mode, and then you can delete the icon.
How do you go into edit mode?
Just touch and hold it on the home screen.
Then presumably kind of a menu will kind of pop up.
Yeah, and then apparently once the icon's deleted, all the data for the game is deleted.
Okay. I'm going to try that soon.
Which games are you deleting?
There's like it's not the Killzone that's available.
Mercenary.
For... this month on PlayStation Plus, but I think I got Liberation and probably Blackgate, Arkham Asylum, or Arkham City, or whatever it was.
Have you tried that?
Yeah, was it any good? Well, that was a good.
Yeah.
Emily,
that was a
load,
then.
I managed to get through all the season three of Supernatural. So, in my Supernatural rewatch, I can see Paul just got a pained face right now.
To be honest, I'm trying to get through Lie to Me, and it's a good show.
Lie to Me was ace.
Yeah, I've been watching it for the past couple of weeks, but it just seems to be taking a while, and I'm not sure why.
I'm not tending to watch Supernatural when you're around. So,
I know. Maybe it is me just kind of watching too much YouTube.
Not
reading the comments.
Without spoiling things too much with Supernatural Season 3, which seems weird to be saying that, but it's quite a horrible season ending for Season 3. Mm-hmm. It's not nice. It was watching it, I was just like, oh, that's horrible. It was horrible on an emotional level, on a grimness level. It's pretty disgusting. And horrid, and oh yeah, that's how season three ends, and it's a short season, obviously, because of the whole writer's strike thing that was going on back then. But what did we watched some new stuff? We watched films.
We watched what did we watch?
We watched Gone Girl.
Yeah,
which
was a brilliant film.
Which we can't spoil, but.
But if you haven't watched it, watch it now.
I might have nominated a character from it in this week's Hex Recommendations during our Villains Month. I had to black out pretty much most of the recommendation.
Yeah, you did. bearing in mind that with formatting the post as well, because, you know, it's like, oh, the name of the character in such and such, I've had to be like, oh, the person in Gone Girl.
Yeah.
But a person.
Yeah, That was good.
And the image was also, yeah.
I feel so sorry for so many characters in that film. And I can't say any more than that because it would just spoil it. It's not a film you can't have that spoiled for you, basically, if you haven't seen it already, which a lot of people haven't because it's less than a year since it was released. So, meanwhile, though, after that, I decided to stick on a Nicolas Cage film I picked up cheap.
Cheapish.
It was Blu-ray. Picked up Dying Light.
Isn't it Dying in the Light?
Oh, is it Dying in the Light? It might be Dying in the Light. I can't see the box from here.
Is it any good?
Oh, yeah, there's like a tiny in the between Dying Light. Is it any good? It is weird. It is... I mind you, this is a Nicolas Cage film.
That doesn't really answer the question.
No, not in the case of a Nicolas Cage film. No, it is pretty good because Cage is kind of on top performance playing somebody who's completely whacked out on... like emotions and psychological issues and substances of dubious origins.
It's almost like this is an autobiography of his early career. No, I'm just kidding.
He plays...
there's a reason for him being crazy in this one.
Yeah, he plays a kind of like... he plays a CIA agent who's been sort of like been... straddled with a desk for quite a while after his health and psychological health suffered after a case in the, I think it's either the 90s or the early 2000s, involving Islamic terrorists. And sort of like that, he's been having major sort of psychological issues, and the film kind of explores these as he attempts to kind of eke out some kind of revenge and trying to find a point to his existence, because prior to all of the events of the film, he doesn't feel like his existence has had a point because he's not achieved what he set out to do whilst he was in the CIA. But he can't do anything properly himself because he's becoming more ill, sort of like over the course of the film. So, and it had a, what's the name of the actor that played Chekhov in that?
Anton Yelchin.
Had Anton Yelchin in a role and playing a character that I hadn't really seen him demonstrate in any other film that I've seen him in so far. He's really, he played a CIA agent as well, and he was quite cruel and creepy as a CIA agent in this film. So that was interesting. Just gonna put that there. I can't think of anything else that I've been up to.
Have you been up to nothing else apart from those?
I know what you're hinting at. I'm not telling these people.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think what I've been doing.
Well, you lied to me.
Yeah, lied to you. Lied to me. Yeah. Yeah, I had a bit
that
of
was a Freudian slip.
I had a bit of a YouTube day yesterday. I stuck it on the Chromecast and basically just watched through a whole load of different stuff on YouTube.
Cool.
Including let's see, SciShow. That was quite cool. Bits and dabs from like stuff like Game Theory. And I think a little bit from Vsauce. Not very much, because I do watch quite a lot of YouTube stuff anyway, so sometimes I just like to, you know, kind of sit down, catch up, and just, you know, stick them all on. Sometimes I do like kind of actually seeking out new channels as well, every now and again, because, sometimes it's just want to stick it on and, you know, have at it. And, cool. Yeah, PBS Idea channel, that was the one. PBS Gaming, or what was it? I think PBS Video / Games or whatever. I can see Emily writing these down now. Just, you know, kind of bits and dabs. Lacey Green as well. She's actually very good. A little bit of Karen Cravat. You have absolutely no idea who these people are, but that's all right. A little bit of Mental Floss as well. Mm-hmm. So these are all different YouTube channels.
Cool.
Because I have a range of kind of different stuff, obviously, from kind of science and technology to kind of social issues, and then, you know, kind of stuff like entertainment-y type stuff, like Fail Army and stuff.
Yeah.
And occasionally sort of some of the more movie-making kind of stuff, and then kind of tutorial channels, kind of drawing channels and stuff, and... Yeah, all sorts, really.
Cool.
I was just going to point out, I just remembered that Spike's TV's launching this week in this country.
Yes.
On the 15th.
15th, when's that?
Wednesday.
Sweet.
I think they've got Breaking Bad on in the first night.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, yeah.
I'll have to retune our box.
Can I just have a little moan about Spike TV for a moment, at least with their marketing? They've been kind of assuming that it's just Dubrows. I want to watch it.
Dude, bro!
Just guys, basically. And it's like, well, you've got really cool dramas coming to this, like Breaking Bad. Women like good drama too. Why are you just advertising this channel to the men folk? Can't you make it a bit more gender neutral in your branding and your advertising? I mean, I get that in the US, the channel's like highly male focused and whatever. Other sort of kind of bullshit, but it's kind of like, well, you don't have to copy those twats.
No,
you could be a bit more open-minded. I mean, I generally find that the UK tends to be a bit more open-minded about gender issues than the States. So why can't that be reflected in this kind of TV offering?
Do you think the advertisement is outside of the kind of stuff that they're showing?
No, because the stuff that they're showing is kind of like, it's slightly messy. I think they've got a bit of sports going on as well, but the shows that they're showing, like they're going to have Walking Dead and stuff, and it's like, well, I know plenty of women that like Walking Dead who aren't even geeks.
Yeah, that's very true.
Regular women who like Walking Dead. Crazy.
You know what I hear is when, kind of channels actually, the advertisements actually hostile towards women, or were they just kind of
emphasizing guys watching it?
Emphasizing guys watching it.
Yeah, no real sort of women sort of interaction at all. It's just kind of, it's like a lot of what you get with a lot of games advertising. Like, it's not for girls. And it's like, well, or women. It's just like,
It's not necessarily exclusory, but it's not inclusive in, even kind of acknowledging that there's an audience there.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah.
But is there anything else you've been up to, Cookie?
Me, I have been playing a bit more of Destiny, which I'm really getting into.
What level are you on now?
Level 14, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, level 14 now. I've unlocked Venus, I've unlocked Mars. It's all good. Making headway on the single campaign. I've done a few strikes as well, which is good fun. Which is cool, actually, it's really weird because on the solo campaign missions, although you can have a fire team of 1-3, you don't have a matchmaking system or anything like that. So it's a bit more difficult to have random people join you. Whereas on the strikes, you actually have a matchmaking lobby. So you're always playing with at least two more people, either one more person or two more people, which is quite good fun. I've unlocked the Crucible, so I've been doing a bit of the sort of team death matches and that sort of thing, and realised how really shockingly crap I am at it. That's all good. I can practice. Been getting loads of loot, lots of armour. It's just really cool. Still a bit annoyed that there's no real sort of chat system on there, considering it's a cross between a first person shooter and a sort of MMO, which is annoying. You can dance at people or point at them or wave to them, but that's about it. Which is a bit bizarre. But there you go. It's really random as well, because I was on a solo campaign earlier, and somebody else was doing the same campaign, and he got knocked down, so I was actually able to revive him and let him carry on. Ooh. Even though he wasn't part of my team, which was cool, but I'm just thinking, well, why don't you allow us to just join up then? It's bizarre. Because once you get to a certain point on the single-player campaign where respawning isn't allowed, even if there's other people on the map doing the same thing, they just disappear. They're no longer in it. It's just you. Unless you've got a pie.
But did you say pie?
Party.
Okay. Oh, party.
Okay.
Party.
I'm sorry, though.
Of course, it is good to have pie as well. I mean, pie is always good.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, having a pie and, you know, that kind of lures, you know, potential teammates over and, you know, allows you to respawn to, you know, protect the pie and stuff. So, yeah.
But no, it's really good and the it just looks stunning. I've been taking quite a few snaps and putting them on Instagram. So I apologise to anybody who's seen them. But it's just really pretty, so... pretty low kills and that, really good fun. I've also downloaded Neverwinter and started playing that for a couple of hours, which for a free to play game is actually pretty good.
What's the character creation like?
Pretty good, yeah. You've got quite a few selections, dark elf, wood elf, sun elf, human, dwarf, ogre. Or was it troll? Then you've got quite a few options for your scars, tattoos, and that sort of thing. So it is actually pretty good. It's a lot more than I expected there to be on there. And the game's quite good fun. With your little spells and that. Quite a bit of varied missions. You do have a proper chat little system on the bottom as well. So you can talk to people in the game as well, which is quite good. I've only done about an hour and a half on there, but it's been interesting so far. I mean, I've become a wood elf, but for some reason, because I just thought it'd be funny to mix it up, I was actually brought up on a ship as a pirate, and I've been attacked by a monster, and the ship's been destroyed, and I've washed up onto the coast. Which is quite amusing, because I wouldn't have thought a wood elf would have got that far, but there you go.
I can't imagine, yeah, little wood elf. Yeah, no, I can see where that is kind of like a weird story to be kind of following.
Yeah, but it's good. I mean, it doesn't really affect the gameplay. It's just for your own sort of history, as it were. So, but let's say to actually be able to get to play it free, well, as long as you've got Xbox Gold, it's free to play. It's not too bad. I don't know what the add-on packs and that are going to be like. Because I'm assuming they're going to... Yeah, they will be paid for DLC and that sort of thing on there. So, but I haven't needed to pay for anything yet. I saw there was a pack that you could buy to become... to get another character slot and you can create a Dragonborn. But I didn't check out the price on that, I must admit. But I will do. On that, the only other thing I've been doing is watching Daredevil.
Yeah, have you both been watching Daredevil?
I've seen the first two episodes so far.
Yeah, I saw the first five. Yeah, I got a bit into it.
that's fair enough. Yeah,
there were people very boastful on my Twitter feed on Friday, talking about how they were watching the whole thing pretty much that day.
Pretty much, yeah. You can really binge on it. I can see how easily it would be to binge on it as well. Which is cool.
Well, I mean, it's what, 10 episodes?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fairly easily doable within a day.
Absolutely.
How are you guys finding it?
Really good.
I'm liking it, yeah. There's certain aspects I like more than others. Mm. But so far, I'm really liking the mature theme. Especially for a Marvel sort of storyline. Mm. And I like how they've got it to work with the Marvel Universe as well.
Yeah. I was actually going to surprise Emily with that.
Oh, sorry.
But I'll just leave it.
We'll leave it at that.
Don't say anymore.
No.
Okay.
But it is really good, yeah. Definitely worth a watch. And, yeah, I'm liking the new sort of mature Marvel Universe that Netflix are going for. It's good.
Mm. Does make me wonder when the other series are meant to be coming out.
What, Luke Cage and... Jessica Jones.
Was there another one as well?
Defenders, isn't it?
Mm.
Okay.
Mind you, I wouldn't mind some of the more made for TV stuff coming out over here, like Peggy Agent Carter, you know?
Yeah, Agent Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating living in somewhere like the UK and sort of like having this kind of cultural phenomenon from going on in America, and it's like it's not coming over here because I don't know, channels can't be asked to pick it up, or
they'd rather put on more repeats than just pay out some money for something that people want to watch.
Yeah, it's daft, isn't it? It's like Constantine. That would have done really well over here, I think. That was really good.
Yeah. Did it actually... because I know, obviously, it didn't go on to digital, but did it actually go into any of the Sky channels?
No.
It really...
Just Amazon Prime.
Blimey. And they wonder why stuff doesn't work sometimes.
It's really daft. Because that would have gone really well. And we're finding out whether it will get renewed for season two this month, I believe. At some point. Oh. I hope it does, because it deserves to be renewed. Mm. It was a great show. It had a slow start, but... doing something really good.
Bringing this back to Marvel for a moment, I would like to point out that I'm getting increasingly frustrated with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the moment because of the treatment of Sky. Like, we're three episodes in after the break Channel 4 enforced on us more than the break the Americans actually had. Yes. And it's just like Sky can't catch a fecking break in season two. It's just...
No.
It's just getting freaking ridiculous. Like, let's just beat down on Sky. She doesn't need happiness as a character. Mwahaha! That's what I imagine happens in the writers' room.
Apart from Fitz, obviously, because Fitz is trying to help her.
Yeah, Fitz has been nice. Simmons and Fitz is probably the most endearing character in the entire
thing so far, yeah. Because, I mean, Coulson's gone into his director.
Off
yeah, and
everyone.
Yeah.
How far have you got so far in the second season?
So it's episode 13 aired on Channel 4 last Friday. So the Doctor tried to recruit people and it all went a bit wrong. That's how much I can give away. Sky was being assessed for various things.
Yes.
But yeah, okay. That's all that's been legally aired in the UK.
Does that
so
mean
far.
That you've been going around to
Dave Internet?
Yeah, Dave Internet, which is
I might have been for that one. Yeah.
Oh dear. I can kind of
it is stupid
sympathize
though, I mean, it's
why,
like but... it's crazy because it's like HBO, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
First four episodes have found their ways onto the internet. Which is annoying because I'm actually recording it now on Sky.
Mm.
But the things they've done really well with it is I know that I'm not going to get any spoilers on Twitter and that as long as I keep away from it. But say we weren't recording tonight, I would have watched it in the UK at the same time as everybody else. And only a day after... No, I don't mean it like that, but it's only a day after the US.
Mm.
It is literally only a day after the US. So there's not that many spoilers and that on the internet. And you can join in the conversation with everybody and it works really well. And they've released HBO Go on the Apple devices. So if you don't want to get cable in the US, you've got another way of being able to watch it. So they are working. They, as a channel, seem to have realised that the internet has changed things. That you know, to encompass everybody, you've got to do stuff like releasing it at the same time, getting it all together, blah, 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 and they're making a real go of it.
Mm.
And then this happened to them, which I'm really saddened for, because out of all of the companies, they are the ones actually trying to make it. So their programs are all airing at the same time within a couple of days of each other, so everybody can join in, so there's no spoilers and that. And they're trying to move forward with the times, not backwards. Like with Constantine and stuff, which is just daft.
Talking about the bizarreness of the UK broadcasting situation, because obviously America's got they don't have a license fee situation, but obviously people pay to have anything beyond like PBS.
Yeah.
Or public access over there. And
yes, you've got the choice, haven't you?
And it's kind of like, well, okay, so there's different cable providers and whatnot in different states and... some of the times it can look like a monopoly and whatever, but at least it tends to be that the content creators or the people that own the rights to the content itself, you know, the shows and that, they seem to have been freer to actually make them available on digital platforms of varying sort of like niches and that, you know, in the US, whereas over here, the broadcasters, the deals that they seem to have signed for crap, basically, with like American content and even British produced content, is like, oh, we don't want it going out on anything other than our channels and our digital portals, blah. Oh, and we'll make sure that your DVD releases are put back ridiculously as well. And it's like, but
the problem is you can't do that because the internet is, you're not unifying everything.
Yeah.
Whichever way you look at it, it is. It's like Asian Car. I don't understand why nobody in the UK has picked that up.
I'm really hoping like Netflix might pay up
I
for
hope
it.
So, yeah. Because, I mean, again, thanks to Dave Index, he's a very helpful chap. It was a really good series. You'd really enjoy it. It was done really well.
Mm.
And when I realised that it wasn't being brought over here, I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Why
it
not?
It does make me a little worried about watching...
If they could show us Sharknado crap, they can buy that.
It does make me a little worried about Age of Ultron later this year, because we're behind on... Well, this month, we're behind on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm. Yeah.
I haven't had Carter.
Whether it'll sync up. And
yeah,
whatnot.
Because obviously, like, it was kind of frustrating watching Captain America: The Winter Soldier last year, and because Channel 4...
Because you're halfway through the season.
Yeah,
and
Channel 4 taking that overly long break for no good reason. Like, they decided to go completely out of sync with the American broadcast. And it was just like, well, that's great. I'll go and watch this. Now I've just had shit spoiled. That's brilliant. No, it's not. Fuck's sake.
Don't have to. It's like a flash and arrow that's shown on Sky One. We're only like a week behind of the US. If that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't understand why. I don't know.
I do wonder also how much of it is like the fault of advertisers, because they have a slight hold over things as well. Because it's like, it's advertisers that in a lot of cases help fund stuff. But.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just frustrating, and it makes going on to bits of the internet
it's like,
really difficult.
There's another show called Outlander, based on a famous book, a famous series of books, which is doing really well in the US on the Starz channel.
Mm.
And that's now been put on Amazon Prime, but no UK channels picked up.
Well, I mean, originally no UK channel picked up Breaking Bad.
Mm.
No.
It kind of just shows how out of touch UK channels are, actually.
Yeah.
You're passing up on good stuff. Not only good stuff, but, you know, stuff that has gone viral. And you're picking up, instead, what, Melissa and Joey?
Oh, God.
Is that still going?
No, oh, they got Melissa and Joey actually finally got cancelled, I think, over the last couple of months. But not after it went for like a ridiculously long time, and E4 thought it'd be a good idea to buy into its crappy sappiness.
There again, I think to a certain extent, E4 has been getting worse for actually buying American shows, or, you know,
buying
both
lower
four
quality.
And, yeah, and BBC has never really, you know, been good at that anyway. And there's like very few other channels out there on, you know, Freeview, where they are actually doing a half-decent job of stuff. I mean, even when they do, like, you know, Five bought up the rights to Walking Dead to show in the UK, and they fucked around with it. They messed about with the times and, you know, when it was on and whatnot. They've pushed it back, you know, just so far behind the Americans that, you know, and then they complain that nobody's watching it. It's like, yeah, that's because you were being dicks. Most people went online and watched it, you know, as the Americans did.
Yeah. Don't have to know.
Meanwhile, I think the rates of piracy in countries like Australia and New Zealand might even be higher, because they're even further behind for reasons best known to their broadcasters.
I mean, it'll be interesting to find out, because, I mean, it's not just a case of, you know, sort of like how far behind as to how many pirates there are.
Yeah.
I think it's a very decisive factor.
Well, stuff like the, you know, the, what the how big of a slap on the wrist is it? Is also
might also be a factor. I suppose that's one of the things, weird things that's happened over here since for the current government and the watering down of digital rights sort of violations that people can commit when they actually illegally stream. And it's like, there's not really much they'll do now.
No. And it's kind of bad because I don't want to break the law, but by the same token, I still want to watch stuff when, you know, I can, and when my friends are, and, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, so what you're basically trying to say is that if I want a conversation with my friend, I'm going to have to do something illegal. Kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Daft, isn't it? Does push you into a corner.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's really all we've got time for this week. Yeah, so it is goodbye from...
So it's goodnight for me, Paul, a.k.a. OneArmed_Cookie on Twitter.
It's goodnight for me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter as @PaulBlewett.
And it's goodnight for me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter as EK6891. You can find the show notes for this episode with some links, certainly for the news stories, over at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk. You can also tweet us at Nerds Podcast. We're available on Facebook and Google Plus and Nerds Assemble Podcast. You can listen to us through iTunes or Stitcher if you really want to. According to our data, most of you don't, though. But, you know, we're there if you want us. And, yeah, that's it. And don't forget to check out hexdimension.com. So, good night.
Good night.